The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
So we're on part two.
Coming up, Betty and Randy Robison look back at a classic message from the late James Robison.
The kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is with power. The kingdom of God is with authority. It's not with a bunch of stinking dead religious traditions. Jesus Christ is alive. That's what they were saying. They were saying, I'm telling you, we've got authority. Now, they were saying Jesus is the same right now as he was when he walked on this earth. That's what they were saying.
Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Betty Robison. It's my son, Randy. Randy, it's good to have you.
It's good to be here. And I'm excited about the programs.
I am, too. You know, I talked to you at the end of the show yesterday. James is just getting warmed up. Hang on, because it's going to get really, really good. And he's talking about dissension in the church, Randy, arguing with one another. Mm-hmm. And God says we're supposed to be able to forgive. So sometimes we forget to forget.
Yeah. So we're on part two of The Prevailing Word. And by the way, if you missed part one, you can see that at lifetoday.org. You can see complete classic sermons at stream.org. But the idea here is still relevant today. Mm-hmm. And another thing that he will talk about in this sermon is God's ability to heal. Mm-hmm. And yes. Again, you go back decades, you go back centuries. Our God is the same. He is a God who is able. So This may be an older sermon, but it's still a very fresh word. And it had a huge impact on those who were there. It's had a huge impact on people over the years. And Mom, it had a huge impact, God's word, on this ministry and on your personal life.
It's amazing to me how God's word was so relevant years ago and now today. It's so relevant. You'll read a scripture, you say, I've read it 100 times, and then God speaks to you again. You think, wow.
Yeah. So enjoy this. We'll be back. This is part two of The Prevailing Word.
Why don't we Christians quit fighting? We know we haven't got much in the realm of healing. We're just a bunch of little baby disciples trying to learn. And if some of you'd quit screaming so loud, maybe I could hear God a little better. Why don't you be patient with me like you are with the doctors? I'm trying to learn. Maybe someday you'll need me to pray for your child. I want to learn how. I want to learn how to hear God. If you've got a block in your life that prevents God from working, I want to be able to hear God and say, Dudley, here's your problem. And I won't speak a word of condemnation. I'll speak a word of love. If you're hearing condemnation, it didn't come from God. It comes from the devil. There's no condemnation coming through him. Do you hear me? Quit arguing about all these things. Quit fussing about them. Don't get me back and say, well, tell me what you think about tongues. I want you to know the problem's not tongues, the problem's the tongue. Tame the stinking thing. Tame the stinking thing. Let God take care of the other. All of you sitting out here just dying to know so you can find out. You're just dying. Some of you have been about to break your neighbor's ribs saying, he's got it, he's got it, he's got it. I'm telling you, he's got it, he's got it. And their neighbors are saying, God knows I'm going to need healing in a minute. I mean, you know, some of you are more concerned that I get something you've been bowing down before than me just being right with God. A sure sign you're moving into idolatry. Then the other crowd out here say, boy, when I get out of here, I'm going to tell everybody what you said about tongues. I'm going to tell them you're a charismatic. In most circles, you might as well tell them, I got leprosy. If you want to finish James Robison or any other preacher off, just tell them he's a charismatic. That'll do it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a charismatic. I'm a Christian. And because I'm a Christian, and because I'm in love with Jesus, I love the charismatics. And the charismatics I know that love Jesus wish they'd never heard the name charismatic. They're sick of it. They're sick of every label that diminishes the name of Jesus. I've never spoken in tongues. I feel about it exactly like Dr. Olford does. If you ask, have you, I'll answer like Dr. Stephen Olford does. Not yet. You say, well, you think you will? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not afraid of it. And I'm willing to receive anything God has. But I'm going to tell you this. I'll never worship it. And I'll never magnify it. Because there's a Holy Spirit living in me that wants to magnify Jesus only. And the people I know who so obviously have this beautiful gift of either languages to communicate with other people or to communicate in the Spirit to God, these people who go and communicate with God know that God is saying, don't idolize that. And those people love me right where I am. And they'd be saying, well, if it'll ever help James, Lord, we'd be so happy if he'd have that. But, oh, Lord, we'd never put him down and hurt him if he doesn't. We love him. See, I have a gift to preach. I won't put you down if you can't preach like I can. I really won't. I won't intimidate you. I won't do that to you. I love you. I love you. Let's don't argue about these things. Oh, look at this. Verse 7. Don't you leave me. Don't you get time conscious tonight. Don't you do it, brother. It's time to get eternity conscious. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have any idea what's going to happen to some of you. Did you hear old James write this afternoon when he said, I'm back here? And he said, I left my chains down here last year. I left my chains down here, and I'm back a year later, and they're still down there. He left his bondage down here last year. And he walked out of here a free man. Well, I want to tell you, some of you are going to leave your chains down here tonight if you don't let the enemy distract your mind. Or you can't know what's going to happen to you when you go out here. I want to tell you, friend, we leave here in the name of Jesus and power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know we're going to turn this world to Jesus. This may be the most important meeting in this century. And from now to the return of Jesus Christ, you just can't know what God's going to do with this group. I believe you're a part of one of the most historic meetings in the history of mankind tonight. By the way, somebody said, well, I don't know if I'm coming. I'm going to tell you something. You coming or not isn't going to diminish what God's going to do. Brother, if he only gets 12 of you, he did it once with 12, he can do it again. Brother, he's looking for men whose hearts are perfect toward God. He's not looking for a mob. He's looking for a man he can show himself strong in behalf of. And I'm telling you, it's on, Dudley. Brother, it's on. They can debate it and discuss it all they want to, son. It's on. It's on. Look at this. And there were in all about 12 men. They're all with 12 again. And he entered the synagogue. He went into the worship center. Look at this, folks. He went into the worship center. And I want you to know, listen to me, disciples of Jesus Christ, those of you that fall in love with Jesus and won't bow the knee to Baal, those of you that will never again worship men and systems and traditions, you too will go and enter the church house, the worship house, just like these men did. I want you to know that when you do, you're going to find, sadly, too often, the very same things going to happen to you that happened to them. Now, I want you to watch what happens. They went into the synagogue. They went into the worship house. They went into the place where people were supposed to be coming to meet God. And they continued there, speaking out boldly for 3 months. Brother, they were saying what God said boldly. And they reasoned and they persuaded them about the kingdom of God. That means that the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is with power. The kingdom of God is with authority. It's not with a bunch of stinking dead religious traditions. Jesus Christ is alive. That's what they were saying. They were saying, I'm telling you, we've got authority. Now, they were saying Jesus is the same right now as he was when he walked on this earth. That's what they were saying. And they were becoming what, verse 9? They were becoming hardened and disobedient. And I can promise you, you can walk back dressed up in Jesus. You could walk back with a Shekinah glory on you. You could walk back with the Holy Ghost pouring out every pore of your body. You could walk out bleeding your blood out over some of these churches and weeping buckets of tears. And I want you to know they'll spit all over your radiant face and tell you, you take your stinking stuff and get out of here. We've got our stinking golden calves, and we worked a lifetime to build these things. And they'll ask you to leave, and they'll call you every name in the book just like they did Jesus, just like they did Paul. And you can say, no, those were pagans. Those were the old Jewish people. Why, those were the Pharisees. Read your Bible. Who do you think Jesus Christ is talking to when he's writing to the churches in the Revelation? He's writing to New Testament churches that he said, I'm going to come and take away your lamp. I'm going to jerk the light out of you. I know your works. You say you're rich and increased with goods and don't have any need of anything. I know you. You're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. You know who's talking to the church? Do you know who's talking? Not to the synagogue, not to the temple. He's talking to the church. And he said, I want you to know you make me sick, church. I'm not even in there. Have you read your Bibles? Have you not read that the church at Galatia had already left the freedom and gone back to the bondage of the Pharisees and the law? That's a New Testament church. It was in a mess, such a mess that the Apostle Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want you to know you go into these mausoleum churches that have steeples on them and Christian names on them and preachers in this pulpit that fear the faces of men and worry all the time about somebody going to come back here and split my church and tear up my church. If any power on this earth can tear up your church, it's not a church built on the rock, because he said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Why be afraid of what men say? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm afraid of missing what God says. I'm afraid of not doing what God says. You go out of here tonight full of Jesus, you'll be run out of some of these, quote, church buildings. And if you think the church, yes, it's a fellowship. Yes, it's a local fellowship. Yes, it's a body universal. But it is also a body saturated with the Spirit of God, being dealt with by God, who sends the Timothys to the corrupt Corinthian church and rebukes him and says, you receive him as the prophet of God that he is. Don't you turn a deaf ear to some man that won't let men pull his strings, church. You better get on your face and thank God for the David Wilkersons, and thank God for the men that'll come and look you straight in the face and not care if you stone them out and say, we'll never invite you back to our churches. You better thank God there's some men on this earth that'll say what God says and not fear the faces of men. It's the only hope you've got. They were hardened in their hearts, and they are today. And anyone that doesn't repent will continue to be hardened. And they were hardened, and they were disobedient to the word of God, and they spoke evil of the way. They criticized them before the multitude. He withdrew from them, and he took away the disciples, and he reasoned with them daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this took place for 2 years. This shows the persistency. Now, you little disciples want to run out here and you want to get everything fixed up back home in about a week or two. He stayed 2 years. 2 years. I want you to look at this. It's absolutely incredible. This took place for 2 years in one school. They had to meet in a schoolhouse. That happens to a lot of churches. I'm hearing about that happening. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't be afraid of a church splitting. Because I'm going to tell you that God Almighty is about to tear churches that are building to the idols of Baal to smithereens. And I want you to know many of them are going to be meeting in schoolhouses, and fear not. Let them keep the buildings. Give them to them. Start building a living house, a spiritual house, and watch the glory of God come. You can't know the fear of tremor that's running up and down the spines of men that are thinking they're counting dollars. And they're counting money and say, my God, he's going to wreck us. If I can, it's not God's church. Amen. I said it's not God's church if any man can tear it up. They went to a school. Look at this. For 2 years, listen to this. They never left that school building. And everyone in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. One school for 2 years, a little group of Christians, and the whole country heard the word of God. You talk about witnessing. You just get a bunch of sanctified saints locked up behind closed doors. It's just like that Christian standing on the corner smiling. You never have to open your mouth. You'll have people asking you what's wrong with you, and you can tell them about Jesus. You get a bunch of people praying, and you just tell them what you're praying about and tell them what you're reading in the Bible, and you'll never have to say a word. The word will go to the ends of the earth. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. And everybody's hearing the word of God. You just stay in the Word. Watch what God does. Look what happened. Look what happened. Verse 11, and God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul. It's going to start happening, folks. It'll start happening in your little prayer meetings. We were down in Orlando, Florida. I called for people to come forward to be set free from bondage. And when they came forward, there must have been over 1,500 of them came forward. They had three overflow areas. They had an apartment building with closed circuit television. When the people came forward in repentance, I said, how many of you are sick and want me to pray for you? Hundreds of people put their hands up. I said, bow your heads. I said, people turn, lay your hands on their shoulders. Let's pray God will heal them. I was praying for God to heal them. Hundreds of people were healed in the building. About two blocks away in the apartment building, a woman was in a wheelchair. The people had turned around, laid their hands on her. She jumped up, started running all around the room. The glory of God filled the building, and those people like that had a spasm. It made the newspapers. God's power came on that woman. I didn't touch her. Jesus touched her. The people prayed. The power of God came. We're watching God do what he wants to do all over this country to say, I'm still the same, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Do you know what I want to see happen tonight? I want to see the Word of God prevail in your life. Do you know that in order for the Word of God to prevail, listen to me, you must shut out every sound, you must shut out every word, you must shut out every symptom, you must shut out every sound that your ears and senses have ever picked up, and you must hear the Word of God, listen to the Word of God. Jesus Christ is your healer. Jesus Christ is your Savior. Jesus Christ is your deliverer. If the Son makes you free, you can be free indeed. When you walk out of this building tonight, every move you make must be directed by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, and not by men and their manipulations. Hear God. I can't tell you how important it is that you hear God. Don't you ever do another thing that you don't have the smile of God on in your life. Get God's approval. Whatever you do, get God's approval. Get God's peace. And that's the way you're to live from now on. You walk out of here like that, listening to God, and I'm going to tell you something, folks. God Almighty is going to shake the world with his power through you.
You know, it's interesting when you see a large crowd like that. I mean, you go, wow, there are a lot of people there. And this happened often.
Yep, all the time. It really did. People were hungry for God's truth.
Absolutely.
And for his word. And I think what he was trying to get across there, walk in God's spirit. You know, you don't know who's watching you. I could go to the grocery store and someone would be following behind me in a basket, and all of a sudden they'd come up to me. They would recognize me because of television. And they're watching to see how you act. And James and I went to a book signing one time. He had written a book that had come out. And I was sitting up there with him, and a lady way in the back of the line, I looked around at her, and I smiled, and I waved at her. I got a letter from her after James's passing, Randy.
Really?
And she said, you'll never know what you're just waving to me did to my heart in my life. I knew that somebody cared about me.
Wow.
We don't know who's watching us. We don't know who God's having us to witness to without even recognizing it.
Yeah, wow. That I didn't know. That's wonderful. And, you know, I love hearing these stories of the way that the ministry here and the way that Dad impacted people, because he surrendered.
Yes,
he
did.
Said, Lord, I'm going to give you everything. And wasn't always easy.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. He traveled a lot.
He traveled a lot.
And when all of you got in school, I could not go with him, you know. And I didn't want to. I wanted to be there at home with you. But he traveled a lot. He gave up a lot, but he also gained a lot.
Oh, my goodness. And what's interesting is when you look back, that was 1984 in that sermon. And there were a lot of divisions denominationally within the church. Over the decades, he helped heal those. He brought people together.
People that thought they would never speak to one another because of a certain religion or something, you know.
Differing opinions.
Opinions.
And it's okay to not agree on every little thing. But they sat in this studio oftentimes side by side, or they would sit up here in
these
chairs.
And he wasn't afraid to listen to people's different opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
They always came to a resolve afterwards.
So God's Word that tells us to love one another as Christ loved the church was exemplified, and it had huge ripple effects across many denominations, and it will have an impact on your life. Another great impact that it had was the shift away from those big sermons, or those big auditoriums, rather, that you saw there, and to more of a media outreach and to a mission outreach. And you know, Mom, I've told people for years, the only reason I'm here is in obedience to God, and the thing that really is close to my heart are our mission outreaches. And this one we're in right now is so special. And I have the privilege, thanks really to the work that you and Dad have built here, to have gone around the world to see firsthand the outreaches that you make possible. So thank you for the privilege. And you know what? Let's do it again. We're in Christmas shoes and smiles because we want to make this Christmas so special for so many children around the world. We can only do it when you join. Watch this and pray about how you can be a part.
For millions of children around the world, every step is a struggle against disease, injury, and the elements. But thanks to the incredible outpouring of love of our ministry's friends, that story is changing as we are distributing thousands of pairs of brand new shoes to children in need. A new pair of shoes is more than just protection from soil-borne parasites or rough terrain. It's a message that tells a child who has often felt forgotten that they are seen, they are valued, and that someone halfway across the world truly cares for them.
More shoes and smiles here in a village made possible by you, those of you who watch and respond. We want to do this again this Christmas for other children in need. I pray that in the spirit of Christmas, in the name of Christ who was born this season, you would just reach out with the love of God and be a part of Christmas Shoes and Smiles.
Join us this Christmas to put shoes on the feet of waiting children. Your support turns a journey of hardship into a walk of hope.
I love seeing the children dance and smile and say thank you.
And you know, one of the biggest joys for me as a grandmother and a great-grandmother now is to see our children come over, our great-grandchildren come over, and they'll have a new pair of shoes on, and I immediately notice them. I comment on them because they're so proud of them. These children are just as proud, because it's probably the first pair of shoes they've ever had.
Yeah, and they last a long time. We've gone back later to many villages, and you see children wearing those shoes, and they'll grow out of them like children do. But they'll pass them down.
They do. They pass them around.
Passed around. So, I mean, this is an ongoing thing. I do want to mention, though, that it's not just a luxury item in a third world country. It actually is something that can impact their health because, Mom, you know that hookworm is prevalent over there. There are other diseases that get in through the feet.
It can affect their whole body.
It can affect their whole bodies because it starts to deteriorate their
health. Their resistance is down. Everything that comes along, it's going to affect them.
It does. So while you are helping to put a smile on a child's face by giving them a new pair of shoes, remember, you are actually providing them with something that can protect their health. And of course, those who have the cleft palate and the cleft lip that receive the corrective surgery, it makes all the difference in the world. Oftentimes life-saving.
That just blesses me so much because one of the first times we went over there, Dad and I saw a young boy. We had our cameras going, you know, and everything. And one cameraman showed him on camera, and it's the first time he'd ever seen himself. He backed off in disgrace because he thought he looked so bad.
Yeah.
But we were able to help that young man.
Oh, my goodness. There's not much better in this world than seeing the photo of a child or video before and then after the corrective surgery. And again, that is only made possible through the support of friends like you who have been coming alongside of us for so long, even since those days back in those crusades. But today, it's a new day. We need to reach our goal. We need to give shoes to 150,000 children. That's what we want to do this Christmas with your support. Will you provide 10 pairs of shoes, perhaps, for a gift of $36. Maybe you can provide 50 pairs of shoes when you give a gift of $180. Or maybe you'll provide two corrective surgeries for a gift of $1,000. That $1,000, alternately, would provide 275 pairs of shoes. That's 275 children. Whatever you can do, join us in this beautiful outreach. Let's put some smiles on children's faces as we put shoes on their feet. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from things we often take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of painful infections, injury, and life-threatening diseases. But this Christmas, you can bring hope and healing. Your gift today will help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays. And for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children. $72 will help provide for 20. $180 will help provide shoes for 50. And a gift of $500 will help provide a cleft surgery, restoring a child's smile for a lifetime. As a thank you for your gift, please request the first time ever duo color crystal shoe ornament with beautiful green and red accents. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake box set featuring five of life's colorful crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or corrective smile surgeries for two children. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Let's get ready for Christmas. Please go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. And Mom, I hope people come back tomorrow.
Oh, I do too.
Keep coming back.
More good preaching.
There's wonderful sermons. These sermons that change so many people's lives. And by the way, if you miss any of them, you go to lifetoday.org or full sermons available on stream.org. We'll see you again next time here on Life Today.
Amen.
God hates worship where our hearts are not toward Him.
Another classic message tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.